Spring is here, and there's a whole new way to chai at Starbucks that's made perfect for you. Choose your sweetness, dial it up, or keep things light. Add a touch of pistachio, a hint of strawberry, or vanilla. Or make it a spring classic with lavender. Because this season, there's endless ways to chai at Starbucks.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is here, and there's a whole new way to chai at Starbucks that's made perfect for you. Choose your sweetness. Dial it up. Or keep things light. Add a touch of pistachio, a hint of strawberry, or vanilla. Or make it a spring classic with lavender. Because this season, there's endless ways to chai at Starbucks.
Coming up on podcast 1491, the Ford F-150 Lightning gets a towing test. How did it do, though? Stick around, and I'll tell you what I know. Also on the podcast today, we're talking about why the US Postal Service was so unambitious in speccing all of those piston-powered vehicles for the next batch of orders, why some cities want to give free e-bikes to people, and the new green Tourer from Energica could be the two-wheeler of your dreams. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you're listening in the world, welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It's Monday, 6th of June. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We'll start with some news coming from China and BYD. Whenever we talk about BYD, or whenever anyone writes about BYD, of course, you know the rules. They have to say, the Warren Buffett-backed car maker. Yes, yes, he's famous for many things, but if you can't mention BYD without mentioning Warren Buffett's an investor, I don't think I've ever seen them mentioned without that. I'm joking, of course. They're working on plans to deliver a longer-term advantage over competitors to become more directly involved in going right back to the mine, mining lithium, for instance, one of the raw materials crucial in an EV battery. Well, according to Bloomberg.com, a Chinese media report last week suggested the automaker is dramatically accelerating this strategy by striking a deal to buy 6 mines in Africa. Now, they're capable of producing enough lithium for more than 27 million electric vehicles, and that could be sufficient to cover BYD's lithium demand over the next decade. Well, EV battery prices have started to tick up after ticking down consistently over the last 10 years. They've just started to level out, stabilise, and in some cases, depending on chemistry, go up a little bit as well. The broader inflationary market could delay the point at which EV models are as affordable as conventional small, particularly small piston-powered cars. According to Bloomberg NEF, securing sufficient supplies of the raw materials is going to be the biggest challenge for the car makers for this decade. According to Seth Goldstein, he's a Chicago-based strategy at Morningstar, telling Bloomberg earlier in the week. I will pop a link to that story in the show notes. Now, do you know the name Gordon Murray, famous car designer? And the Gordon Murray Group is developing not one, but 2 mass market electric SUVs. They'll be the first vehicles to ride on a new bespoke architecture under development by Gordon Murray, giving the first details of the SUVs after accepting an award, the Autocar Mundi Award for Engineering. Gordon Murray promised they would, and I quote, change the way we think about range anxiety and vehicle dynamics. Long-term listeners of this podcast know I hate the R phrase, range anxiety. It's so much so that I never use it off my own back. Now, I'll quote it in a story here because, let's face it, he's a bit of a legendary designer and what he has to say is interesting because we can learn from it, but still, I don't utter that phrase because if you are driving a petrol-powered car and you didn't put enough fuel in and you're not going to get to the next petrol station, you have range anxiety. Don't know why somebody invented it with electric vehicles. I hate it. I don't use it. I think it has done the adoption of EVs no good whatsoever. Is it real? No. It's a feeling. You can't put range anxiety in a bucket, can you? It's not a thing. It's not tangible. It's something that people make up. Let's be clear. 10 years ago, was it easy to do a 2,000-mile cross-country road trip? No, it wasn't. But that was the. I think I'm explaining myself very well. There's no reason for anxiety if you know the state of play. If you know you can drive 50 miles before stopping for 4 hours and charging, there's no anxiety in that. It's just that EVs weren't ready. But people use that phrase. I particularly hate it, and I just don't use it. I don't utter it because it's nonsense. Doesn't mean anything. It suggests, according to Gordon Murray, despite their consumer-friendly billing, these SUVs will follow the same principles as the supercars that he designs. In other words, very lightweight, very tight packaging, aerodynamic efficiency, and lots of maneuverability. According to Autocar, who understands that one of these SUVs will be a Gordon Murray vehicle, as in it'll be badged Gordon Murray. That's amazing. Another one will be made for a third-party manufacturer. He revealed they're working on a revolutionary, lightweight, ultra-efficient EV architecture to underpin a small SUV and compact delivery van. Both SUVs will be built according to their production method. They call it iStream. The battery forms an integral part of the structure of the shell of the vehicle. It keeps the weight down with a view to maximizing efficiency. That is what it's all about. Now let's go from four wheels to two and talk about Energica. Energica. They have got a new two-wheeler called the Green Tourer. And you might be thinking touring bike looks, but it's not. It's like adventure bike looks. It looks like you could take this thing off-roading and through the dirt, but you really can't. That's not what this vehicle is all about. It's far from, doing that. It's all about getting somewhere from A to B in comfort on some nice pavement in comfort. Everything about the bike is new, according to Autoblog. They say, and I quote, from the tubular steel trellis frame to the battery motor and panels, the 22.5 kilowatt hour lithium-ion battery provides 19.6 kilowatt hours usable, 261 miles of range, 130 miles of highway driving, with the ability to charge level 1 or level 2 and level 3 DC fast charging in 40 minutes to get to 80%. So it's 101 peak horsepower motor, 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds, 112 miles an hour top speed. All the specs are absolutely stunning. It's got a 5-inch full screen cockpit screen, 7 riding modes. It'll set you back $25,000 for the launch edition of this. But I love anything kind of quirky and funky and interesting like this on two wheels. Now, some good news if you are a Tesla fan in Europe. A user on Twitter asked Elon Musk if he could give an update on the situation in Europe in regards to full self-driving. It's unavailable. Our experience of Tesla's FSD versus FSD beta, for instance, in the US, entirely different. Okay, so the car will do summon, it'll navigate on autopilot, but very, very different to what you might think, which is why it's not worth buying. I've said it before, so again, it is not worth paying for it yet. Unless you particularly believe it's going to launch any minute and you want to hedge against future price rises, I just wouldn't pay money for a feature that is not even on the cards. Elon Musk says, we are close to the point where offering something for EU regulators to review makes sense. Now, I believe the EU regulators on these autonomy issues, and it may have changed since. Last time I heard, they met every once every 2 years. So you would think with increasing autonomy and mobility solutions being required to get cars off the road, they'd be meeting more often now. But even if Tesla, who are close to the point of offering something for the EU to review, that review could take 3 years. So the introduction of FSD in other regions other than the US market comes against difficulties from languages to road signs to traffic patterns to right of way. What about left-hand drive versus right-hand drive markets? His announcement backs up one of his Twitter posts. Earlier this year in March, Elon Musk said they might introduce FSD to Europe this summer. I quote, from the 29th of March, FSD beta should be available in Europe for left-hand drive this summer, right-hand drive a few months later. These dates depend on regulatory approval. And of course, the ultimate get-out for him is, well, we had it ready. The regulators were having none of it. And, two sides of it. I want it to be right. I don't want to be taking my kid for a walk down the street and having a 3-ton piece of metal that isn't right, risking people and risking safety. I want the regulators to do their job, and obviously for the car makers to do their job, and for these vehicles to be safe. Yes, we've all seen those FSD beta videos where it's, I don't know, trying to run over a cyclist or drive through road cones or go down one-way streets. They're quite famous on YouTube, but also it's brilliant at times as well. Tesla faces a big challenge in Europe. Indeed, legislation in some countries doesn't allow a vehicle to do those manoeuvres. It's possible on the same road connecting two countries, the vehicle crosses a border and goes from legal to illegal, according to the Miami Herald. So lots to unpick and unpack there. It must be a massive headache for the Tesla FSD team, not only to get this technology to the state of where it is, and this is for US or for the North American market, to then think, right, now we've got it to do it all over again, and everywhere in the UK is roundabouts. So how do we solve the pedestrian crossings and roundabouts and single lane roads and one way roads in London, and traffic lights? We don't have overhead traffic lights, so all of our traffic lights are on the side of the road. You've got to kind of crook your neck out and, you know, look up. All of those things are like starting from scratch, whether or not they're starting from 20% in again. So it must be fabulously hard to do what they want to do, but many other car makers do have really, really good level 2 driver assistance systems, so it can understandably be done. Right, coming up soon, we'll talk about charging while you park and that headline story of the Ford F-150 Lightning getting a towing test. Stick around, those stories, they go and be on the way soon.
Spring is here, and there's a whole new way to chai at Starbucks that's made perfect for you. Choose your sweetness, dial it up, or keep things light. Add a touch of pistachio, a hint of strawberry, or vanilla. Or make it a spring classic with lavender. Because this season, there's endless ways to chai at Starbucks.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now, the United States Postal Service are next in the news today, kicking off the week with a story that came across my desk about their plan to replace a significant portion of their vehicle fleet. They had the chance to replace them with EVs. Rather, they have decided to award a multi-billion dollar contract to a defense company. They're called Oshkosh. They build gas-powered vehicles for military applications and things like that. U.S. Postal Service aren't bound by the Biden administration's ambition to buy only electric vehicles, so they managed to skirt around that. Oshkosh says that their four-cylinder gas engines have a 14-mile-per-gallon efficiency, but 8.6 if the air conditioning is on. Yeah, great. Only 10% of the U.S. Postal Service trucks order would be electric, which the company has less experience building than others. Look at the likes of Workhorse. They had their hand in the air saying, we'll fulfill some of that contract, but they missed out. In response to the Oshkosh selection, several states have now brought a lawsuit against the U.S. Postal Service. The agency is being taken to court in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California, claiming it didn't conduct a thorough environmental review of its plan to buy the vehicles and didn't consider alternatives. They said there just isn't the EV vans to buy out there. Everyone making EV vans, the likes of Workhorse, the likes of BrightDrop, the Amazon vans coming out of Rivian, they would beg to differ. The US Postal Service released an environmental review of their decision 1 year after announcing the contract. So do the environmental review, then buy the vehicles? No. Give the contract immediately to a defense corporation. A year later, do the environmental review. Okay. They considered only three alternatives: either buying 100% piston-powered vehicles, 100% EVs, or leave the fleet as it was, rather than, well, let's have a blend. Let's give 20% of it to Workhorse and 20% to BrightDrop and 20% to, you know. When reached for comment via email, US Postal Service public relations representative Kim Frum told Newsweek they complied with their obligations. Now, let's talk about EV charging in car parks. The UK electric vehicle infrastructure firm EV Charging has announced an agreement with parking operator Q Park. They'll put 100 chargers into the first phase of operation in Ireland. 16 Q Park sites in Ireland is part of a wider deal between the two firms to put 600 charging points in. Back in April, EV Charging was bought by Blink Charging. They're in Miami. About 30,000 charging ports around the world, I think, so part of a bigger company now. Headline story, Ford F-150 Lightning had a towing test pulling a camper trailer. Nicholas Schmitz is an individual who owns a Lightning Platinum Edition. He was using it for his own test. He has all the features, the tow package, extended range battery, max trailer tow package, and he towed his Airstream camper. It's £6,000 or almost 3,000 kilograms, all packed with gear, all the fresh water he needed for his journey. And before he connected the trailer to the truck, his truck was showing 85 miles remaining. When he connected to the truck with his trailer, the software did some calculations and recalculated the range to 54 miles, down from 85. The efficiency projection was down from 1.5 down to 0.8 miles per kilowatt hour when he hooked up the Airstream camper. So fascinating to see people start to get these amazing new vehicles, whether it's the Rivian, the Ford F-150, and these kind of towing tests coming out. Because as I rather unpopularly say in the EV community, you know, if you live in a remote community, if you have to do some really heavy hauling and you haven't got the infrastructure around yet, it may be that you drive diesel for the next 5 years. What's so important is we electrify 99% of the cars that you drive, that I drive, delivery vans, taxis, all those things. The edge cases, let's not get hung up on them, you know. Let's not get the job done because we can't do 100% of vehicles. If somebody wants to buy a diesel truck because they're hauling or it's their job or they're a farmer, do that now because we will have the vehicles ready for you in the future. But by the look of it, the Ford F-150 Lightning doing some very clever stuff there, and hopefully that range prediction is accurate as well, rather than just towing a trailer and then thinking, how quickly is my range going to drop? The F-150 Lightning, you put all your specs in for what you're towing, and it'll do the calculation. That's really, really clever stuff. Now, final story, and 36 San Francisco delivery drivers we'll get some relief from the petrol pump rather than getting a rebate to buy that fuel. 35 workers will rather get a free e-bike through a new program run in San Francisco. The idea is about lessening their carbon footprint when they're doing food delivery. As an added benefit, those workers are getting out of their cars and reducing traffic. App-based delivery drivers, so if you work for DoorDash or Instacart or Uber Eats, you could be selected for this program. They will collect data through this pilot program to work out the best routes and pick up and drop off, etc., and how many delivery drivers feasibly do routes that could be done just as well, just as quick, darting through the traffic, etc., on an e-bike rather than in a car, causing more traffic. Expenses are a really big deal as well. Delivery workers are a major cost of the low wages they get paid. Is the vehicle expenses. Half of delivery drivers' weekly revenue, half of their revenue goes up in smoke in vehicle expenses. So again, any way to use a vehicle which is better is a good thing, right? Thank you very much for listening today. Question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. A great new question for you to answer. What non-car company would make a great electric car? Have a think about it and email me. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thank you so much to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village of Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. emobilitynorway.com. Octopus Electric Juice, making public charging simple. With them, you get one card, one map, and one app. And I've been an EJ user since the very, very early days. And it was four networks was that they launched with. Remember the letter they sent me with my little card attached the minute I could register. And now they're sponsoring this podcast. Man, this is such a cool, cool thing we do. And millbrookcottages.co.uk, five-star luxury cottages in Devon. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.